He raised the spike-shafted craft on its repulsor lifts and guided himself through the long launching tunnel into open space where the battle raged. He approached the giant framework sphere of the Death Star. Kip had seen the effectiveness of the Sun Crusher's ultra-strong armor when Han Solo had flown at full speed through the bridge tower of the Hydra, but even the quantum armor could not possibly withstand a blast from the Death Star's superlaser. Kip had two remaining resonance torpedoes that could trigger a supernova. He doubted he could get a critical mass in the prototype's skeletal structure, but a direct hit would still cause a substantial chain reaction. He accelerated forward, a mere pinprick on the vast canvas of garish-colored gases around the Maw's black holes. Then, without warning, a bright flower of orange and white erupted from the power core at the center of the Death Star, a small explosion. An instant later, flying in the opposite direction, the Millennium Falcon blasted out of the superstructure, gaining speed. With a warm, melting sensation of relief and triumph, he knew that Han Solo had survived. Now Kip could strike the crippled Death Star with no second thoughts, and then he would go after Dalla. He powered up his targeting and weapons systems. With Jedi senses, Kip could feel the power surging beneath him in the toroidal torpedo generator, energy sufficient to crack open stars. For one last time, he had to use it. The explosion in the power core sent the entire Death Star reeling off its axis. The lone space trooper attempting to disarm the detonators was hurled backward, already torn to shreds of plasteel armor and incinerated bone. The detonator had ripped open a gash in the cylindrical core, splitting the armored plating wide and spraying a jet of radioactive fire. Tal Sivran's headtail stretched out straight with outrage. "I ordered those two space troopers to stop the sabotage." He whirled to the Deveronian division leader. "Kem, record their service numbers and make a special disciplinary notation in their files." He tapped his claws on the chair arm and finally remembered to say, "Oh, and give me a damage assessment." Doxson ran to the status console and pulled up a visual. "From what I know of the blueprints, Director, there appears to be a relatively insignificant breach in the power core. We can repair it before radiation levels get too high. It's a good thing no more than one of those detonators blew, though. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to contain it." The stormtrooper captain was on his feet, chattering orders into his radio helmet. "I've already sent a full squadron of troopers down to suit up, sir. I have instructed them that their personal safety is forfeit."
"Good, good," Tal Sivran said absently. "How soon will I be able to shoot again?"
The stormtrooper studied his panels. The white plasteel helmet masked any hint of expression. "The space troopers are suited up and on their way. They are descending the catwalks now." He pointed his featureless black goggles at Sivran. "If the repair work goes as planned, you could fire within 20 minutes.
"Well, tell them to hurry," Sivran said. "If Dalla destroys Maw installation before I do, I'll be very annoyed."
"Yes, Director," the captain said. Tal Sivran watched with simmering frustration as the Millennium Falcon disappeared toward the other fighting ships inside the Maw. He noticed the New Republic battleships that had overrun his facility. He noticed the large conglomeration of planetoids where he had spent so many years of his career. And then he looked at Admiral Dalla's Star Destroyer. Dalla, whom he loathed, who had deserted him and her duty at the time of greatest need. Tal Sivran muttered to himself as he fidgeted in the command chair.
"So many targets," he said, "and so little time."
38. The battle-scarred Star Destroyer cruised so low over the Maw installation's weakening defensive shields that Luke's instinct was to duck. The complex clutter of Gorgon's hull flowed like an unending river past the skylights, showing just how immense the battleship was. "Shields just failed completely," one of the technicians said. "We won't survive another pass, and the reactor asteroid is going critical." Wedge punched the facility-wide intercom and shouted orders. His voice echoed through the labyrinth of tunnels and the clustered asteroids of the installation. "Last call for evacuation. Everyone to the transport ships. Now, we've only got a few minutes to get out of here." The alarm somehow grew even louder. Luke turned to follow the troops running toward the doors. Wedge grabbed the thin blue arm of Kwai-Zooks, but she resisted, staring in horror at the computer screens.
"Look," she said. "What is she doing? She can't."
Wedge stopped to glance at the streams of data flying across the screens at high speed. He blinked and saw rapid-fire images of blueprints, weapons designs, test data.
Admiral Dalla must have known Director Sivran's password, Kwai cried. She's dumping the data backups we couldn't crack. She's downloading all the weapons information. Wedge grabbed Kwai by the waist and yanked her away from the terminal, rushing her toward the door. We can't do anything about that now. We've got to get out of here. They ran down the corridors with the assault troops in the lead. Kwai's feathery hair streamed behind her, glinting in the harsh white light from the glow panels. Wedge felt overwhelmed, his tension rising, as if his internal chronometer were ticking down the seconds until the explosion of the fragile reactor asteroid. Until Admiral Dalla's next attack. Until the whole installation bloomed into a white-hot cloud of rubble. Wedge had never wanted to be a general anyway. He was a good wingman, a fighter pilot. He had flown beside Luke down the trench of the first Death Star, and next to Lando Calrissian to destroy the second one. By far the best assignment had been to escort the lovely Kwai Zooks. Even frightened and dismayed, Kwai looked exotic and beautiful. He wanted to hold her and comfort her, but he could do that on the transport back to the Yavaris. If they didn't get out of here immediately, they would all die. As the refugees scrambled across the takeoff area, one of the transports declared itself fully loaded. Wedge grabbed his comlink. Go, go! Don't wait for us! They charged up the ramp of another waiting shuttle. The remaining troops scattered to their seats. Wedge took a second to make sure Kwai had a safe place to strap herself in. Luke bolted for the cockpit and threw himself into the co-pilot's chair, powering up the sublight engines. Wedge took one last glance back at the personnel compartment to verify that everyone was at least close to being seated. Secure the door, he cried. One of the lieutenants slammed a palm against the hatch controls. With an impatient hiss, the ramp drew in like a retracting serpent's tongue. The doors clamped shut. Wedge wasted no time securing himself into his seat before raising the transport off the landing pad. With a scream of acceleration, the troop ship launched itself away from the dying Maw installation. The footsteps of Commander Crotus sounded like hammers on sheet metal as he ran up to the bridge observation platform. Admiral Dalla turned, anxiously awaiting a favorable report. Crotus tried to regain his composure, but did not succeed in wiping the idiotic grin from his lips. Transfer successful, Admiral. Complete core dump of all the Maw's backup computer files. He lowered his voice. You were correct. Director Sivran never bothered to change his password. He was still using the same one you obtained 10 years ago. Dalla snorted. Sivran has been incompetent in everything else. Why should he change now? Most of her TIE fighters had been wiped out. None of her starboard turbo lasers were functional. Engines operated at only 40% efficiency, and many systems were severely overheating. She had never anticipated the battle would take this long. She had meant to obliterate the rebel forces and then finish mop-up operations at her leisure. She didn't understand why Sivran and his Death Star didn't do anything. But finally, something had gone right. She had retrieved the precious data from the Maw installation computers. Dalla watched as troop transports fled the cluster of rocks below, but she deemed them insignificant targets. Installation shields are completely down, the tactical lieutenant said. Good, she snapped. Wheel about. We'll make a final attack run. Excuse me, Admiral, Crotus interrupted. We're getting anomalous readings from the reactor asteroid. It appears to have suffered severe damage and is highly unstable. Dalla brightened. Ah, excellent. We'll target that. Perhaps the reactor can do most of the destructive work for us. She looked out the bridge tower and saw the ocean of screaming gases around the infinitely black pinpoints. The Gorgon turned about and headed toward Maw installation. Pull ahead, Dalla said, standing rigid at her station, gloved hands clasped behind her back. Her coppery hair flowed behind her like spraying lava. Fire repeatedly until the installation is destroyed or until our turbolaser banks are drained dry. The lumbering ship picked up momentum as the Gorgon accelerated forward on its final run. Wedge flicked on the open communications unit to contact the New Republic fleet. He didn't care about encryption at the moment. If the Imperial forces could decode his transmissions, they wouldn't have time to take action anyway. All fighters, regroup and return to the Avaris. Prepare to retreat. We are leaving the Maw. We have everything we came for. The huge frigate hung like a jagged weapon waiting to receive the fighter squadrons. X-wings and Y-wings looped around, disengaging from space dogfights and heading back to their primary ships. Wedge accelerated toward the Yavaris. The squarish opening of the frigate's lower bays glowed with an atmosphere containment field like a welcoming open door. Without warning, four square-winged TIE fighters shot up from Wedge's blind spot, mercilessly battering the front of the transport shuttle with laser bolts. Before Wedge could react, an assault shuttle bearing Imperial markings flew in from the left, firing multiple beams from its forward heavy blaster cannons. The attack took the TIE pilots by surprise. They scrambled and scattered. Two careened into each other to get out of the way. Two others succumbed to the focused blasts, exploding into molten debris. Wedge heard a loud Wookiee roar of triumph over the open comm channel, echoed by growls and shouts from the assault shuttle's passenger compartment. The clipped metallic voice of C-3PO interrupted.
"Chewbacca, please do stop showing off. We need to get back to the Yavaris."
Luke toggled the communications panel. "Thanks, guys."
"Master Luke," 3PO cried, "what are you doing here? We need to get away."
"It's a long story, 3PO. We're doing our best to do just that." On the opposite side of the maw, the Gorgons spun about and accelerated toward the unprotected installation like a wild bantha, its rear engines blazing with starfire. A flurry of green turbolaser bolts blurred out from the Star Destroyer's fore section, angling down to strike the installation's clustered asteroids. With the facility shields down, ionized rock dust sprayed into space. Dalla fired again and again, picking up speed in what appeared to be a suicide run. Her strafing beams pummeled the installation, striking asteroid after asteroid. Metal bridges vaporized, transparasteel shattered and blew outward. The Gorgon came on, unstoppable until, just as she soared over at closest approach, the attack breached the containment housing the unstable power reactor. Sitting in the cockpit of the personnel transport, Wedge and Luke both flinched as the entire Maw installation suddenly became a blaze of light like a miniature exploding star. The center of the Maw was filled with an incandescent purifying fire. The glare flooded outward, automatically causing the view screens to darken. Wedge flew blind, trusting the navigation computer's controls and aiming toward the waiting New Republic flagships. When his vision finally cleared, he looked back to the stable point that had held the Empire's most sophisticated weapons research laboratory. He saw only a far-flung swarm of broken rocks and smoldering gases in an expanding backwash of energy. Eventually, the debris would drift far enough to be siphoned down to infinity through one of the black holes. As the glare faded and the fiery gases cleared, he saw no sign whatsoever of Admiral Dalla or her last Star Destroyer. 39. Working like automatons, the team of doomed space troopers attached themselves to the breached wall of the Death Star's power core. Intense radiation spewed out, darkening their faceplates so they could barely see, slowly frying their life support systems. Moving sluggishly as they weakened under the invisible onslaught, they wrestled thick sheets of plating in the low gravity. They used rapid laser welders to slap patches over the breach, reinforcing it to withstand an energy buildup. One of the space troopers, his control pack sparking with blue lightning as the suit's circuits all broke down, thrashed about in eerie silence. His arm movements gradually slowed until he drifted free. One of the others took his place, ignoring the lost companion. Every one of them had already received a lethal dose of radiation. They knew it, but their training had been thorough. They lived to serve the Empire. One of the troopers completed a last weld at the hottest point of the breach. His skin blistered, his nerves were deadened, his eyes and lungs hemorrhaged blood, but he forced himself to finish his task. The cold vacuum of space solidified the welds instantly. With a gurgling voice filled with fluid, the space trooper gasped into his helmet radio,
"Mission accomplished."
Then the remaining troopers, with failing life support systems and bodies already savaged by the fatal radiation, released their hold on the power core in unison. They drifted free, dropping toward the brilliant energy discharge like shooting stars. At the total destruction of Maw installation and the loss of Admiral Dalla's Gorgon, Tal Sivran's initial reaction was one of annoyance and disappointment.
"The installation was supposed to be my target," he said.
He glared at his other division leaders.
"How could Dalla do such a thing? I have the Death Star. She doesn't."
As the shock waves and light echoes from the huge explosion drifted and faded, Sivran could see the rebel fleet gathering itself to flee the cluster. Sivran sighed.
"Perhaps we should hold another meeting to discuss options."
"Sir," the stormtrooper captain got to his feet.
Our power reactor is now temporarily repaired. I lost 9 good space troopers to bring the weapon back online. I think we should use it. The rebel fleet is in retreat. We'll lose them if we don't act soon. I know this is non-standard procedure, Director, but we have no time for a meeting. Sivran looked from side to side, suddenly insecure. He didn't like to be pushed into snap decisions. Too many things could go wrong if one did not consider the full consequences. But the captain had a good point. All right, then. Temporary emergency actions. Ad hoc committee decision. Shall we use the super laser to strike out at the rebel forces? Doxson, your vote.
I agree, the squat division leader said.
Tal Sivran turned to the hatchet-faced woman.
Galanda?
Let's cause some damage.
Yem?
The Deveronian nodded, his horns bobbing up and down.
It will look much better in the report if we have a unanimous vote.
Sivran considered.
Since Wurman is no longer with us, I will act as his proxy and cast my vote along with his. Therefore, the vote is unanimous. We will strike the rebel forces.
He nodded to Yem.
Please note that in the minutes.
Director, the stormtrooper captain interrupted, the rebel fleet is pulling out. One of the corvettes has already gone into the maw.
Captain, you are so impatient, Sivran snapped. Can't you see we've already made the resolution? Now it's time to implement it. Go ahead and establish your first target.
He blinked his tiny eyes and spotted one of the Corellian corvettes hanging dead in space.
What about that one? Sivran said. It appears to be either crippled or booby-trapped. I don't like it. And besides, it's a stationary target. We can use it to calibrate our aiming mechanisms. Since you missed a whole planet last time.
As you wish, Director.
The stormtrooper relayed the instructions to the team of gunners in the firing bay.
I suggest we fire at only half strength, Director, Doxson said, scanning the technical readouts.
His bald scalp furrowed again.
Even at reduced power, the Death Star superlaser will be more than adequate to destroy a simple battleship. In that way, we can manage multiple firings without depleting our reservoir so quickly. We won't have to wait so long between shots.
Good suggestion, Division Leader, Sivran said with a smile of anticipation.
I'd very much like to shoot more than once.
Down in the firing bay, the gunners hunched over sprawling control banks, fingers moving deftly over the arrays of brightly lit squares to call up the targeting cross and lock in on the doomed corvette.
Hurry up and fire, Tal Sivran's voice echoed through the speakers. We want to get a second shot at those ships before they all leave.
Together, the gunners focused the secondary laser beams and yanked back on the levers to release the pent-up energy within the power core. Along the focusing tubes, a wide beam of incinerating power shot out. It funneled through the focusing eye and blazed into a deadly spear, striking precisely on target. The crippled Corellian corvette was so insignificant that it absorbed little of the destructive power.